You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Okay, thank you so much for joining us right here on Adventist World Radio, powered by the SID Media. And of course, you know that we are specialists in giving you top-notch Christian content. All right, so this evening we've got a man who's coming back to the show. He had taken a very, very big hiatus, probably what, a whole year. A whole year away, but he's always part of the family. He's here, and being a medical doctor, I'm sure you know these guys, they get really busy. They get really, really, really busy. So, of course, we always thank God whenever he finds time to take, to find time to be with us on the show. That's my brother, Elder Dr. Charles Kleza. Dr. Charles Kleza. He is a lifestyle medicine specialist, and he's always a man who gives us gems as far as health is concerned on the show. So, Dr. Charles Kleza, thank you so much for coming back to the show right here on Adventist World Radio.
You're most welcome. I'm delighted and glad to be back online.
Wow. Amazing, amazing, amazing. So, of course, coming back to the show, Doc, this time around, you said, no, I'm not going to give you just a single interview. We are going to be working on a whole series, which is beautiful, beautiful stuff right there. A whole series simply titled Healthy Living Made Easy. Maybe the listeners, before we even jump into today's topic, they want to know, why did you come up with this particular topic?
Okay, so when it comes to healthy living or healthful living, many a times the environment we find around ourselves make it a little bit challenging and not as easy to choose healthy living or to make options that are healthy, maybe because of fast food outlets, maybe because of being busy, and sometimes lack of knowledge. So it's very paramount to come up with solutions for the community that they can have hope and know that healthful living can be made the easier choice on a daily basis.
Wow. So healthy living, something that we need to make a choice on a daily basis. And this evening, you've specifically decided to start with a very, 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 very important topic, specifically targeting men, that is men's health level up. Okay, so what does men's health level up actually mean in practical everyday life?
Okay, so in practical day life, we are looking at the ability for a man to be able to be present mentally, physically, socially, and spiritually. That is a man who is healthy. We are not just looking at the absence of symptoms or discomfort, but a well-being. So we are talking about physical ability to be able to do work, whether it's manual work or office work. We're also looking at presence in the home, whether in a family circle or in the community. We are also looking at spiritual health. We are looking at being able to tap into a higher power, who is God, to be able to attend and be present and be relevant in church settings. And lastly, we are looking at the mind, where men are present. They can, process things in the right way without faulty thinking patterns. They can process things the right way and are not under distress, but they are managing stress in the right way. Sometimes men might think that men's health is mainly has got to do with being macho and being able to probably fulfill conjugal rights in a marriage setting, but it goes beyond that, just as I've shared.
Mm. So, of course, there's always this, worrying trend of men taking health issues seriously until it's too late. Okay, many people in the health fraternity always attest to the fact that a man only comes to the hospital or visits a doctor when he's almost but bedridden. Why do you think that's the case with most of us as brothers?
Well, maybe before we get to the why, we can actually probably just look at the statistics a little bit. We can see that approximately men face a lower life expectancy in Zimbabwe as compared to women. So men will live around 61.2 years and women may live up to 68. And when we are looking at key health challenges, including HIV prevalence, there is 11% prevalence that is rising as far as men is concerned. And when we're looking at total deaths on a yearly basis, men will contribute about 53.6% when they are actually lower as far as the total population is concerned. This can be as a result of core beliefs that are upside down. So we are talking of warped core beliefs that men have. Number one, men are brought up in an environment where they are taught that one is not supposed to cry, or to cry is an indication of weakness, or to seek for help or to ask for help from another man, let alone a woman, is an indication of weakness. So that core belief causes men to delay seeking help, when in actual essence, that actually can be used to show that one is in control and one is strong enough to realize that they've got need. Then number two, there is that ego that men have, that if I'm a man, I'm supposed to be a leader. So as a leader, I'm supposed to lead by example. I'm not supposed to show that I'm ill or I'm not feeling well. And that's a warped misconception that needs to be addressed as far as men is concerned. And then number three, we'll find that in the communities that we live in, sometimes men have got so many responsibilities to the point that they lack time for self-care. And as a result of this, they put their health last over their work, in preference to their family, in preference to meeting community needs. And then on the last end of the list is men as far as his own health is concerned, to the point that when they present with symptoms at a hospital facility, they might have had these particular symptoms for almost a year or more. And at that point, they're only coming through because they cannot function at minimum level. That's when they present. And at that point, their body has actually degraded to a greater extent that some of them might not even make it, and some may make it. So these are some of the background to why men end up having low health seeking behavior as far as the community is concerned. And sometimes we find that there are also some religious and church organizations which do not encourage seeking for medical or health attention. And that can also contribute to men delaying to seek for medical help or health attention as far as this area is concerned.
This idea of us being taught to sacrifice for everyone else, put everyone else first, the wife, the kids, then you last. Hey, seems like it's affecting not only our pockets, but our health as well. So brothers, take heed. You need to make sure that you also prioritize yourselves out there. Okay. So Doc, look, everything has got fundamentals. I guess, you know, the principles, key principles that have to be followed. I guess health is no exception. So if you can tell us maybe what some of the key pillars of men's health that every man, every brother out there is supposed to follow and pay attention to. Because look, if you don't tell us, we are going to perish out here.
Yes. So I think the first key principle that we can give is that as men, we need to be present. We need to honor up for ourselves and realize that you only have got one body that God has given you as a gift. as we learn that this body is the temple of God, in which the Holy Spirit needs to reside, and we've got only one body that we need to take care of, that we live in for the rest of our life, and we cannot sacrifice it over taking care of our vehicles, taking care of work, and you know, we actually have got engineers, we have got doctors, we have got accountants who get awards for performing very well in their work environment as far as their key performance indicators. But the same person cannot do a perfect audit as far as his own life is concerned. The same person who engineers this high skyscraper building that is amazing cannot realize that he is engineered to live life and live it in abundance, as what Christ says. We perform dismally in that area. So as men, we need to own up and begin to realize that as men, we should have these key performance indicators as far as our health is concerned. When you are not feeling well and you've got a discomfort or a symptom, seek for health and medical attention. It's not an indication of weakness. It's actually showing that you are bold, you are strong enough, you are this man that has got this macho within you that wants you to be healthy and to seek for medical or health attention. That's number one. Then number two, what we need to realize is that there is nobody else who's going to come and do this on our behalf. We ourselves have to do this. So you want to visit the men's clinic, you want to visit any other clinic that specializes as far as men's health is concerned, because you need to be present as an individual. How do you become present? We need to live within our own means as men. That's number two. That will help us as far as our mental aptitude is concerned. In actual essence, in this world where we are living in, when we're looking at SID in the Southern African Indian Division, we realize that there is actually, in quotation marks, not an expensive community, or we don't have an expensive lifestyle available out there. It's just a matter of a man who identifies which category do I fall in, and reach out for those fruits that are within your reach and not be subject to peer pressure and do that which is beyond what you can manage. So if, for example, your salary is $1,000 per month, then the community that you're supposed to stay in should be a community that does not cost more than $300 as far as your rental is concerned. Those are key principles as far as spending is concerned, as far as economics is concerned. So you cannot then stay in a community that calls for rental for 600 or 1,000. That's already out of reach. And you can become distressed as far as trying to meet up rentals are concerned. So we should live in the presence, live within our affordability as far as our income generation is concerned. If then we want to be in a different community, if we want our children to go to a different school that charges higher fees, then we need to have multiple streams of income that can feed into this so that we are not distressed to the point that we may end up with a lot of debt that may be difficult to repay and then end up with the distress. So number two, we have to be present. Presence means you are living within your means. Men, let's not bow down to peer pressure. You know, sit down, come up with a monthly budget. How much are your groceries? How much is your rental? How much is your transport? And when you do that, you are becoming a faithful steward of the resources God is giving you as far as your talents is concerned. And you can return a faithful tithe and offering without putting your hand into God's pocket to use tithes and offering for your own needs, because you'll be living outside your means. So, men, we need to live within our means. Then, number three, we need to realize that we cannot live in isolation. You know, as men, when it comes to suicidal tendencies, men can plan for a suicidal, or they can have a suicidal ideation and actually be successful. Just like Judas. Judas planned to take his life and he was successful. And in the Old Testament, we also have got King Saul. He said, I cannot be taken my life by maybe a Philistine or an uncircumcised individual as far as the context of the community, as far as social life is concerned. And then he took his life. So we men, when they plan for suicide, they usually are successful, as opposed to women. Women, when they plan, before you know it, they've shared with somebody else. And before you know it, it has failed. Before you know it, they are seeking for help. So men, we need to realize that we are social beings that live in linkages in society, and we need to connect with one another, connect as men. You know, women have got all these different clubs where they meet and talk and discuss things. And sometimes they've got clubs where they come up with monthly monetary contributions to buy certain things for themselves and for the home. Men also need to come up with that which is relevant to them. Look for a social club where you can go and maybe play social soccer, where you can interact with other men and get to discuss the challenges that are arising, whether it's inflation that is affecting our daily budgets. And then when we are there, we can interact with one another, get ideas such that no man needs to take their life. Because sometimes when you look at some of the reasons why one has taken their life, one could actually find a solution from somebody else who probably is ready to assist, or maybe have walked that path and have overcome. So as men, we need to come up with social clubs where we create an environment that is free and friendly to share the challenges that we are going through and come up with support systems. Maybe go for a social Sunday, and maybe it's a braai, or maybe it's not even a braai. But whatever it is, what we need is to come up with social groupings for men where they can share ideas, where they can talk, where they can support one another. And then lastly, as far as men's health is concerned, when things are not going well at home, whether at church, let's not then throw the baby with the water out after maybe bathing the baby. And then we say, look, I am not going to church anymore because the people there are hypocrites, because the people there are not supporting. In actual essence, the church environment is a place where broken people come to. It's a place where people that are looking for help, that are looking for assistance, come to, so that they can find help. If not from the brethren, from our big brother who is Jesus Christ. When we are looking at our statistics, people that go to church, just going to church and not participating, but just consistently going to church, they've been seen that they live longer as compared to those who do not attend church regularly. Let alone those who participate actively in church activities have been shown to be happier people. So if you want to belong to the happy people planet, if there is anything you want to do, is to attend church. I know some may say, I don't have time. I remember meeting somebody on a Saturday who was doing work and saying, you know, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist, but I'm not going anymore. I need to make enough money so that I pay my rentals. In actual essence, many people work so much and do not have time for adequate rest. But God has given us this particular weekly rest that we can utilize to rejuvenate, recharge ourselves, reconnect with God, reconnect with one another, so that we can be propelled for the new week ahead to be able to do more than we could have done had we not have this particular weekly rest. So if there's anything men should do on a weekly basis, is to have a weekly day of rest that you can spend with God, with those of similar beliefs, and be encouraged for a sharp knife sharpeneth another knife. this is what I would like to share as far as men's health is concerned. And also, when we are in these settings, let's not compare ourselves with one another. The ex can cut a tree, right? But the razor blade cannot cut a tree. The razor blade can probably shave the head. So each and every one of us, we were given these unique talents by God that we can utilize. But the moment we start to compare ourselves with somebody else and put ourselves under pressure, you may end up becoming a razor blade, trying to cut a tree, or become like someone who's holding an axe, trying to shave their head. And we fail dismally. And then we begin to beat ourselves to death simply because we were comparing ourselves with one another instead of comparing ourselves with Christ, our greatest example. And when we do that, we will do well in our given space. We will bloom where we are planted as men.
Such powerful pillars right there, Doc. So much that is cut out for us as men, for us to be able, you know, to navigate this life in a very, very, very healthy manner. And it stems from finances, from us taking care of our bodies, to also our social settings and what we need to do. So much that we need to do. Thank you so much, Doc, for those powerful, powerful points. So we're still right here on this weekend chapter, and we're talking to Dr. Charles Laser. He is telling us about men's health leveling up as we are starting off this Healthy Living Made Easy series. So brothers, or pretty much everybody, make sure that you tune in for some very, very worthwhile health tips. So Doc, look, there are some health conditions that we can call silent, okay, that are commonly affecting our brothers out there, you know. Sometimes they don't even have symptoms, like obvious symptoms. If you can maybe give us a bit of light on some of those things that are affecting our brothers out there unknowingly. We need our brothers to survive. We need them to thrive. So please share with us some of those things.
Okay, so some of the most common conditions that may not show symptoms, which are usually called silent killers, one which is very common is hypertension, high blood pressure. And in the future, of course, we'll be delving into each and every one of these to bring hope as far as how to better manage them. So hypertension is a cardiovascular disease that affects circulation. So it does not only affect the circulatory system, but ultimately affects other systems because the blood circulates to almost every part of the body. So if not diagnosed early and better managed early, it can give challenges when it comes to kidney health, when it comes to brain health, when it comes to diabetes, that is sugar management, when it also comes to men's health in a marriage setting as far as sexuality is concerned, when we're looking here at erectile dysfunction. So it can be very problematic that in many cases, many erectile dysfunction challenges are as a result of long undiagnosed hypertension, which then affected circulation. The other health condition that silently eats up men is distress. We are looking at depression. We are looking at major depression. We are looking at generalized anxiety disorder. And men sometimes, when they are faced with repayment of debt or probably someone who's not honoring up as far as maybe what they had borrowed them is concerned, this can cause escalation of anxiety and challenges of trying to deal with meeting up the daily needs and monthly needs as far as family and community is concerned. So someone can actually be going through major distress without even knowing it. When it comes to marriage settings, we find that when a man just get married, recently married, and they're enjoying their life, the moment the wife becomes pregnant and there's a child who's coming, there's shift as far as focus of attention is concerned. And sometimes men suffer silently without finding anyone to talk to about these things. So mental health challenges are also silent killers. And then we also have got men within the church and outside the church that are suffering silently when it comes to drugs and substance abuse. It can be pornography, it can be alcohol, it can be tobacco, it can be any other substance of abuse such as cocaine. And because sometimes they're an elder, it then is not easy to come out in the open and to seek for help. And they suffer silently, sometimes not even, to say this elder who's popularly known, or even not popularly known, but just an elder of the church has gone to a rehab for drug and substance abuse, they would rather suffer silently. So we're going to be discussing about these things, not just from a man's point of view, but also generic. So as such, we realize that these are some of the silent diseases or silent killers that are killing men. And then, of course, we can also talk about infidelity in the marriage, when man has been faithful in the marriage. And sometimes women decide to go outside of the marriage settings and outside of principles God has given us that is sacred. And sometimes men suffer silently because they cannot share with another man. They cannot share with their siblings or even their pastor, and they suffer silently as such. So these are some of the things that men find themselves in a tight spot and find it difficult to reach out and to find the support. These are some of the silent conditions or silent killer situations that men find themselves under distress.
Sad. It's really sad. And hoping that by the end of this series, Doc, you're going to give us some solutions as far as men's health is concerned. Because as brothers, we are suffering, and most of the time, in silence. And Doc, look, as far as life is concerned, and as far as fighting all kinds of anomalies are concerned, many a times we are told that you need to develop certain habits as a person. So what are some of those healthy habits every brother out there should adopt so that they can improve their health immediately? You know, because we cannot afford to lose our brothers out there simply because they do not have enough information.
Yes. Well, so you see, there is hope that is unlimited for men to explore, that is making healthy living the easiest choice. If there is anything as men that we can do, number one is to see to it that we don't miss breakfast. And when it comes to breakfast, let's have the salads in place. Let's have the small grains in place. Let's have the oats, if available, in place. Have this healthy plate. Have some seeds as part of your diet, because they are rich in zinc and magnesium, which help as far as the brain, as far as brain health is concerned, which also help as far as men's health is concerned generally. Even when it comes to marriage setting, as far as erectile dysfunction is concerned, when we have got a healthy diet that supports circulation is concerned, we are ultimately reducing our risk of these silent killer conditions that distress men. So you don't want to miss a breakfast and have it with a fruit salad, some complex carbohydrates, small grains, oats, as well as some seeds and nuts, and some protein spreads there, and maybe some good bread. That's what you want to do as a man. The other tip also that as a man you can do is to go for exercise daily. Be someone who's known to be active, who is in action. If you are working in a sedentary setting, you even need it more than anybody else. Then number three, you want to have adequate water drinking. Hydration is very, very key, so that your skin can glow, so that when you go to the toilet to urinate, you have got a good experience as a man. And actually, that can be an indicator of as far as how your health is doing as a man. When you drink adequate water, that's going to improve even your bowel movement. That's going to improve your breath as a man and give you confidence. And lastly, you want to have adequate sleep. Adequate sleep is very important. You don't need to work yourself to death. Give yourself time to rest, recuperate, reflect, and then you can become healthier. If you want to explore more, you want to look into lifestyle medicine principles. There are six pillars of them, which is nutrition, exercise, connection, stress management, avoidance of risky substances, and we are looking at sleep, adequate sleep for men. These six principles, we're also going to be tapping into this. When you look into these principles and begin to live them, you can become cut above the rest and be different and cut the string or the chain that is binding many men as far as ill health is concerned. There is hope for men's health.
There is hope for men's health indeed. And hopefully that all the brothers are listening right now, and you will continue to listen, okay, to this particular segment. Dr. Schlesser is going to be in the house to make sure that he continues to give us this priceless information. So, Doc, what can our listeners expect from this series that we have just kicked off today, that is Healthy Living Made Easy?
Okay, so we're going to be bringing principles that one can utilize in an easy way that can improve health. So we're going to talk on different topics on men's health. We're also going to be exploring health and medical ministry to bring balance into this. For the longest of time, there's been a cry out as far as balance when it comes to medical ministry, missionary work is concerned, for there have been some extreme view and experiences. We're also going to be looking at healthful eating patterns. We're going to be looking at exercise. We're going to be looking at women's health. How can a woman stay healthy? We're going to be looking at drugs and substance abuse, bringing hope, because there is a hope in this particular epidemic of drugs and substance abuse. We're going to be looking at rehabilitation, bringing hope as far as rehabilitation is concerned. And we're going to be tapping into the principles that one can utilize on a daily basis that can help healthful living to become the easiest choice as far as healthy living is concerned, not just for men, for women, for the youth, for the aged, for pregnant mothers, and for the greater population, so that we can become one happy, healthy continent, healthy nation, healthy church, healthy individual.
Healthy church, healthy individual, healthy nation. Indeed, that's what Dr. Charles Leza is promising us on this particular series. Amazing stuff. So hopefully that you stay tuned in to this weekend chapter on Adventist World Radio, powered by the SID Media. It's all going to be happening in Dr. Leza. He's going to be here. So which takes me, which makes me want to take this opportunity to thank Dr. Charles Leser for doing this with us today. So, Doc, thank you so much for taking your time.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.